Namaskar and welcome to Radio Eka. My name is Shruti Deora.
And my name is Priyanka.
And we are your hosts for the Radio Eka podcast.
Eka is a place to learn Yoga Nidra, Pranayama, and meditations from India. We have a mobile app and we also offer daily meditation classes on Zoom. If you want to try the app or join our classes, please check out our website, www.ekameditation.com, or just check the show notes.
Namaskar. I welcome you to this episode. This is a back to the basics kind of episode. Today, we'd like to explore some foundational concepts in the world of yoga and meditation. So we'd like to unravel two words that we hear thrown around a lot these days, mindfulness and awareness. And to help us understand this distinction, we have with us our very own Eka teacher, Lalita Rajesh. Lalita is a regular practitioner of Vipassana meditation and yoga. She completed her 200-hour certification in 2018, and more recently, Yin Yoga teacher training. In addition to regular asana, pranayama, and meditation classes, she also takes classes for underprivileged children, remand home inmates, individuals with special needs, and children with cancer. In her previous avatar, Lalita worked in the IT industry for 15 years. So welcome, Lalita. It's really lovely to have you join us today.
Thank you, Shruti. I'm happy to be here too.
Great. So before we really dive into the topic, it would be great if you can share your personal yoga and meditation journey with our listeners.
Okay. I have to make a start somewhere. So let's say I started my first introduction to yoga was back in college when a friend and I very enthusiastically signed up for some yoga classes during a break. And I just went with what the teacher was teaching me. It was more of a physical thing where I thought it's a good practice and I'm enjoying it. But I did come out feeling calm. But that was it. But I think somewhere at the back of my mind, there was an impression and I wanted to go back to it. But it happened again only during my pregnancy with my second child. I went for yoga classes then because I had heard that it's going to be make it easy for me with childbirth and all. And then I realized I enjoyed it so much more than I realized earlier. And again, with being caught up in life, I, you know, put it aside to the side, you know, and thought I'll get back to it later sometime. And I think around 8 years back now, 2013 is when I actually enrolled for a personal class with the teacher and learned it and then started practicing regularly on my own. So that is, so let's say for the last 8 years, I've been regular with my practice. And alongside, I think a little before that itself, I had got introduced to meditation as well. So I was exploring different forms of meditation, trying to, again, like you started off wondering about terms like mindfulness, awareness. I was hearing so many different things, enlightenment, realization, consciousness, whatnot. But it did get me intrigued. I wanted to know more. I wanted to delve more into the subject. So a lot of exploration finally led me to yoga and Vipassana. And as I practiced both, I realized that they kind of can complement each other and go beautifully together. So I've been on this journey now, realizing a lot about myself and how things work, maybe also some of the bigger questions getting answered. And that has brought me to even being with the Eka platform, working with all of you, sharing what little I know.
That's wonderful to hear. And you do remind me of my, pregnancy time too, when I think I could also swear by prenatal yoga. I think it really helped my first pregnancy and delivery. Definitely is a great tool to have for pregnant mothers. Mm. So, you know, every once in a while, my five-year-old daughter would ask me to define like a common word. For example, Mama, what does responsible mean? Or what is honesty? You know, and it stumps me. Mm-hmm. It strikes me rarely. Mm-hmm. It strikes me how rarely we pause in life to reflect upon, words that might be important in our life. which could be either personality traits that we are aspiring towards or even some values that our family holds dear. So similarly, I think when we are going from one yoga class to the next or one meditation app to the next, these two words, mindfulness and awareness, are what are used so commonly. So I think our objective today is to peel off some of the layers and understand the nuances between these two words. So starting with what is mindfulness? How do you think we can cultivate mindfulness? And how does yoga help us for this?
Okay. So mindfulness, according to what I understand, is being able to fix your mind to one aspect, like keeping the mind pivoted in the present moment, here and now. I would look at that as mindfulness. So when I say here now, right now, in this moment, I'm talking. So keeping the mind completely to my talking itself. And this could be any aspect of your life or any task that you're doing. It could just be you're thinking about something, you're planning the day, you're using your mind, but still it is only that. You're not going to the past or the future. So, or you're cooking, you're gardening. It could be anything that you're doing, maybe your work even. If you can keep your mind to what you're doing in the present moment, I would call that mindfulness. And how to develop that? I think we are in a very good time right now, Shruti, where we have so many different tools, so many different mediums where we can access tools and practices, tips for, you know, mindfulness. Some, for instance, like just coming back to the present moment. There are so many practices, if you see, they will try to teach you to just, let's say, anchor yourself to one particular aspect. It could be the breath. It could be even your practice, some physical form that you're practicing, yoga, dance, anything that you're doing with the body, being totally anchored in everything that your body is doing, or just being observant of your breath. There are so many mindfulness practices. Anything where you can, basically you're increasing your concentration, trying to fix your mind to stick to one aspect. So there are plenty of practices available. Meditation is one of them, dharana practice. When we talk of any practice where you focus on one aspect, could be a mindfulness practice. And when we say yoga, I feel itself, the term yoga itself, I feel can mean both mindfulness and awareness. Because when we say mindfulness, every aspect of yoga, if people get familiar with the philosophy of yoga, there is the Ashtanga Marga, which is like the eight-limbed path. You try to pick up each one of them. These are the prescribed stages of practice. You start with the moral guidelines that we have, which we call yamas or niyamas. So the yamas say that you have to speak the truth and be non-violent, non-covetousness. So, you know, there are five yamas that we have abrahmacharya. So all of these, if we try to inculcate in our life on a day-to-day basis, it means you have to be mindful every moment. When we say a simple example of truth, we say be truthful. All of us agree, yes, I am a truthful person. Maybe we don't have these, direct blatant lies to say to anyone. But when somebody, you are lost, a little worried about something, and someone says, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm fine, how are you? We don't realize that we are not really in touch and speaking the truth. So every moment you have to be aware of what is happening. So yoga, you start practicing anyone. I don't think I can call out one practice which helps you develop your mindfulness. But let's say you force me to and I have to. I would say the practice of just the yamas, niyamas, asanas can be mindfulness practices.
Very interesting.
You are mindful of what you're doing.
Very interesting. Yeah. I actually, that makes a lot of sense. Even though I personally felt that meditation also, I think that's what, focusing on your breath, bringing you to the present moment, and reminds me of the famous Patanjali quote that yoga brings you back to the present moment, the only place where life exists. So the aspiration to be constantly in the present moment.
Even the first yoga sutra, which says Atha Yoga Anushasanam, it says Atha is the one of the interpretations is here now begins the discipline, the practice of yoga. So you can say it is like here now is when your yoga practices.
Wonderful. Yeah. That definitely joins a lot of dots for me. So thank you. So now let's move on to awareness. So what do you think is awareness, and how do we cultivate awareness in our modern lives? And what role could yoga play in developing awareness for us?
Right. Again, so what I have understood of awareness is, let's say, a sustained state of mindfulness brings awareness. When we say awareness, it can be aware. In a generic term, we say, I am aware of something happening. I am aware that I live in this house. I am aware that my child is doing so and so. In a generic, I mean, aware, we all know, is to know, to have knowledge of. But I think in when we talk of the whole spiritual aspect, be it yoga or Buddhism or any of the spiritual practices, paths, awareness has a special significance, which means being aware of that, your true nature, or that reality, that absolute reality, or the absolute truth. It again is a very vague concept to describe when you say absolute truth. So most of the ancient spiritual beliefs or the texts, we get most of what we know from the spiritual texts and all, speak of this one universal truth or the higher power, the universal energy. Some call it God. So whatever it is known or has been understood to be what we are in essence too. But we are not aware of that. So when we say awareness, when we start with the practice of mindfulness, you are in the moment. Right now I'm here. And again, right now in this moment I'm here. That constant, consistent state of being mindful, what it does is reduces the thoughts completely. Usually the mind is going around distracted by all the sensory input stimulus that it's getting. So when you start coming back to now again and again, the thoughts automatically subside. And in that state, there is this experience of spaciousness and, you know, that limitless, unbounded state, which is, again, we read about it, we read descriptions, is a little difficult to understand. But in simple terms, it tells you that, yes, I am not this body. We know, intellectually, we might know from our reading, from what we have heard, that, oh, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. But experientially, you feel that state of, let's say, calm. And people call it presence. So I would say awareness is that consistent state of mindfulness, which makes you aware that I am something bigger or something higher or more than just this constitution of body mind.
Interesting. So I think that brings me actually to my, a related question, which is that you talked about our texts, right? Our ancient texts, let's say the Yoga Sutras. Do they have different words for mindfulness and awareness? Like, do they make this distinction between the two?
I have asked some of my teachers this question as well. And there's a lot of ambiguity there. Most people feel mindfulness and awareness are synonymous. But from whatever, the way I have interpreted the interpretations of the Yoga Sutras and all that, I feel Smriti is a term which can mean mindfulness. There is one particular Yoga Sutra which talks of how you can reach that higher stage of Samadhi with Shraddha, Virya, Smriti, Samadhi, Prajna. So Smriti in that sense is constant reminder of the absolute reality, you can say. So in that sense, I feel it is like that constant mindfulness, being mindful about one aspect constantly. So I like to think that Smriti could mean mindfulness in a way.
Interesting.
But then, like I said, when Yoga Sutras start with Atha Yoga Anushasanam, Atha itself says here now begins. So then I feel that word also could mean mindfulness if you have to look at it that way.
And for awareness, do you think there is definitely, I think the Yoga Sutras talk a lot about awareness, what you said, the true reality and the true nature of our being, or being aware of that.
So being aware of that. So very Simply put, I feel yoga, the term itself, could mean awareness, because just to state the first few sutras, it says yoga chitta vritti nirodaha tada drashtuhu swarupe avasthanam. So when the mind, the mental fluctuations, modifications of the mind are still, then the true seer. And now that true seer, when they say drashtuhu, is that the true seer? They don't describe what that is anywhere, but they say that becomes visible to you or available to you. And I think that is what awareness is.
Yeah, beautifully. In fact, in this particular verse, I came across a slightly different kind of translation for it. Let me just say, read it here. Awareness is the soul's ability to sense, see, or know, and to be conscious of this knowing. So I thought that was beautiful. And it's yoga.
Very good.
Yeah, and it says yoga is the restraint of mental activities, the chitta vritti nirodhanam, and then awareness abides in its essential nature. At other times, awareness takes on the form of mental activities.
That's very nice and concisely put.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I think that awareness is that when they say, like, you know, just when the thoughts subside, I practically feel we just have to wait for the thoughts to subside and we figure out what awareness is. Otherwise, it's just, you know, intellectually we are trying to understand it, which is good, which is very necessary on the journey. But finally, I think it's only your experience which can explain it to you.
Yeah, no, you bring us to a really good point that I feel like we are living in an era of intellectualization, right? Like everything, every aspect of life, we love to intellectualize. And people like me are definitely, guilty of that.
I think all of us fall there in that category, right. Most of us at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also our education system today, which is focusing so much on that rather than experiential learning.
So one thing that I realized is to understand experientially, you need to be working with a teacher. Nowadays, it's a trend to just, you know, be looking at things online and trying to practice on your own. So I feel, at least from my experience, so what I've learned from my teachers, I don't think I would have found it if I was just doing some self-learning. Though that is as important. Your self-practice, that discipline is very important to go deeper on your journey. But I think just being guided with a teacher and doing this interactively is where that intellectual understanding also comes, which is very necessary. Otherwise, you might notice things, but you may not be able to put it in context or actually, you know, figure out what it is. So I just wanted to add that also.
No, I think that's, I think with a very attention deficit society that we have, you know, our Guru Shishya Parampara, where you really dedicated yourself to one teacher. I have seen some glimpses of that in classical art forms. And I think it is really, it takes a lot of commitment, but it has a lot of, fruits to be reaped in the end too.
And it's okay to have different teachers along the way. But if you find someone you connect with, try to stick with the practice. Only that will help you go deeper.
Right. Understood. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Bringing us back to the modern life and society, are there like different, dimensions to day-to-day awareness that, you know, that we could cultivate with our practices such as meditation and yoga asana? Are there like different... different kinds or dimensions of awareness for day to day, not talking about the ultimate awareness, but just in our practical life.
So yes, there are different aspects that we can bring our awareness into. Let's say even with our, it could be any day to day work, or let's say even with your yoga practice while you're on your mat. And like we say in most of our classes, yoga does not end on your mat. You carry it into your life. So when we start with, say, your asana practice, you become more and more aware of your body. You become of the physical form that you have. Every aspect of it, how it is. It could be your proprioception, where how your body is. Many times when we tell people, like, raise your right hand, left hand down, and their arm is slightly a little away, but we are not aware. I mean, I started off there. So So that even awareness of where exactly every part of our body is starts developing that awareness. It spreads to other aspects. You become aware of your breathing. The breath is such a powerful tool. As you start focusing on the breath, so there is the body, there is the breath that you can focus on, become more aware of. You can increase your awareness of your mind, the mental activity. The first stage is, I think, just to see that, yes, there are so many thoughts. Sometimes we don't even know that. I used to have a very calm and peaceful face always. And I used to think, I'm a very calm person. But only when I started noticing, I saw how much of activity is actually happening there. So becoming familiar with the thoughts that are happening. And then the feelings that come based on the thoughts that are there in our head. So all these are actually interconnected. It's not like anything is separated, but each one impacts the other. So our day-to-day practices of yoga, meditation, help us understand each aspect by itself and how they are all finally interconnected and how the actual nature of reality is this interplay between all the different aspects and how each one can impact the other and, you know, bring us to a more stable, centered state just by our awareness of this. Again, awareness.
Right. No, I think you bring up a really good point. And from my experience, I feel like my practice also helped me become aware of where I was holding tension in my body. Like I was never aware of that I was holding tension in my legs and thighs until I went deeper into yoga. I was aware of my shoulders, but so that's also interesting. Yeah. Just this being more present to the sensations that are different body parts are experiencing. And actually that's a great segue to Vipassana. And you hear that you are a regular Vipassana practitioner. And I think we would love to hear a little bit more about this. So the 10-day Buddhist meditation, the silent meditation, how does Vipassana enhance mindfulness and awareness? And what has been its impact on your spiritual journey?
Yes. So Vipassana, again, was as a concept, I had heard of it maybe 10, 12 years back. And all I knew was that you go to a place where you sit in silence for 10 days with no contact with the outer world. And that itself was a draw for me at that point. You know, when you have a full-time job, you have children, you have a family.
Because I think most people are scared of that today.
Yeah, I get that also. But it seemed like, you know, with so much happening in life, in our day-to-day life, like say when you have a household, you have two children, you have a work full-time job and doing everything together, it was more like, you know, at that point an escape. If I can get away for 10 days, it's bliss. Though I didn't know what it entailed, but I was ready to do it. But I think, you know, things work out the way they're meant to. I never got to do it because taking 10 days off was a big deal for me, leaving the family and everything and doing it. But I have, you know, did other meditations, tried different paths with bhakti and other forms of meditation. Then Vipassana happened a couple of years back, maybe 4 years back. And I have attended some 10-day programs. So what happens with Vipassana is, you know, you go and most of us go in thinking like it's only about the silence and how will I manage that. But it's such a intense, deep practice, and you come out finding something more about yourself. That's all I can say. Vipassana actually is a 10-day program where one third of it is dedicated to a practice where you're trying to sharpen your mind, make it more alert, and bring in more concentration and focus, because that is very important to be able to delve into the deeper aspects and observe your body, your mind, your feelings. So we start with a practice where you're only focusing on the breath, entering and leaving the nostrils, that's called the Anapanasati. So that practice helps you with sharpening, making your mind more alert and being able to fix it at one point, the mindfulness aspect of it. That part comes in Vipassana with the Anapanasati. And Vipassana itself means a special way of seeing. So where we are able to observe. Seeing or observing things in a special way where we see the reality of things without it being colored with our own perceptions or prejudices. So, you know, we all carry these thoughts, or we have these ideas in our head already. And sometimes the feelings which come up, and most of our, you know, how open we are to something comes colored with that. We have these filters already in place. So Vipassana slowly teaches you to drop all those things. It kind of dissolves those filters that we have and look at reality for what it is. And the practice is, of course, the teachers guide you through the practice. And you are going, like we spoke a little earlier also, we start with observing the body, observing the reality of the body for what it is, the mind, the sensations that, you know, you feel through the body, and the feelings that come up. So when we say, just to give you a simple example, when a thorn pokes you, you feel the pain. So pain is there, that is the reality. But most of the time when you're unexpectedly something hurts you, the pain is one thing, but the emotion that comes saying, oh, I'm hurt, somewhere that either self-pity or feeling bad for yourself takes over more than the actual pain.
Absolutely.
So I think with Vipassana, you slowly start looking at things from a distance, observing that, yes, the pain is there, and that this is my reaction coming up to the pain. So it helps bring that clarity. With the practice of mindfulness, like I said, with Anapana, your thoughts anyway reduce. You are able to get into that state of single-pointed focus. And the Vipassana practice itself helps you develop that wisdom about how the body is, how the mind works, how your feelings keep surfacing, coming up, and how the external stimulus can influence all of this, the state of your body, mind, and feelings. Mm. And so Vipassana helps you with the awareness part, just becoming aware, accepting things for what they are without reacting impulsively to anything. And I think that made a huge impact after my first course itself, where I started noticing patterns, habit patterns, and how I tend to react to something. We all have this thing of cravings and aversions. We like something, so we want more of that. Mm. We don't like something, so we avoid it. So, you know, even things like, I don't like some people, so I try to avoid their phone calls. And otherwise, I think I'm a very equanimous person. But when that person calls, I'm trying to like put it on silence, not pick it up. But even that, I started observing that, yes, this is some aversion in me, so I need to observe that. So somewhere they're all interconnected. It makes you more mindful of every thought, every action that's coming up. And what it does, it helps you deal with situations a lot more easily. You're more centered, grounded, because you are ready to accept reality for what it is. You're not swayed too much by something feeling very good or something feeling very bad. It brings that equanimity, a state of balance, which is so important for all aspects of our day-to-day life.
So, well, that sounds like a beautiful state to be in.
Yeah, we're all still on the journey. There's so much to, you know, still understand, maybe like the higher truths. But this itself is such a revelation that there's so much happening that we are not aware of. And just to become aware of that, I think that itself is beautiful.
Great. Thank you so much, Lalita, that this has been a very insightful conversation. And I'll just take a minute to summarize my own interpretation of what I heard today from you. So mindfulness is constantly being in the present moment and being totally focused on what we are doing at that in that moment. And a sustained state of mindfulness is what is basically awareness. And it starts with, let's say, awareness of our body, of our inner thoughts, of our emotions and feelings, and then eventually awareness of our surroundings, awareness of the world around us, and awareness eventually of our true nature, which is pure joy and consciousness. So we all hope to make progress on this spiritual path. And thank you so much for your time today. You have a lovely rest of the week. It was wonderful to have you.
Thank you, Shruti. I'm hoping that what I spoke made sense, but at least you've got the gist of it right. So
no, it made a lot of sense. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank
nice
you, Shruti.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice to meet you too. Yeah. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.